Oh. Women's Night Out, Women's Night Out, that's tonight. That's not next week, tonight. Noon, you have to sign up online, grow.hope.edu. Very good. Happy Friday. Notice I got my pink sweater on. Yes, doesn't mean it's spring. Valentine's weekend, that's what it is. Hey, we want to welcome any visitors today. A lot of visitors today. Thank you. We are so glad that you are here. Hey, this semester we are working through the book of Acts, and our theme for this semester in chapel and gatherings is Go Be a Witness. And as we've traveling through the book of Acts, we are looking at names like Paul and Peter, the witness of Priscilla and Aquila and Lydia. But also, we're hearing from the witnesses of folks right here on Hope's campus. Witnesses like students, like the six senior witnesses we had this semester, but also the witness from faculty and staff. And today we have the great honor and to hear from my friend, and I can say that, but also a professor in the history department since 1983, Dr. Mark Baer. Would you welcome Dr. Baer? Mark reminded me today that he was on the search committee that brought me here to Hope 20 years ago. So I am grateful to Mark. So thank you. Mark, thanks for sharing today.
Sure.
For these students, some of them know you because they've had class with you, but some of them don't know you. So to give us a little context about you, tell us a little about your family and your background growing up. That'd be helpful.
Sure. So I grew up in California, born and raised there through high school. And then inexplicably to me at the time, when every other car was driving west from the Midwest, ours was driving east, and it landed in Des Moines, Iowa, which defined culture shock for me. So I finished high school in Des Moines and went on to Iowa State University. I had probably a typical family. My father grew up in the Midwest. He had lost his faith in high school, and by the time I kind of got to know him as a human being, he was, I would say, moderately hostile to Christianity, and being a good son, I imbibed that. My mother was an immigrant. She grew up in Ukraine, much in the news these days. She was Jewish. So lots of persecution experience. My parents met in graduate school. They had me, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7 years after that. And I would say my mother was even more hostile than my father. So I grew up in an environment where Christians, Christianity, believers, all bad words. And as I said, I imbibed that.
Yeah. So your parents both, they met in grad school.
Mm-hmm.
So reason, critical thinking, intellect were high values in your family.
Yeah.
How did that get shaped, you know, for you as you grew up in that home?
Yeah. Well, those of you who have me as students know that every once in a while I exaggerate. So here comes an exaggeration. It wasn't always the case, but it was pretty close to being true that if you couldn't defend what you believed in at the dinner table, you didn't get to eat.
Hmm.
So we had a lot of, let's call them discussions.
Robust discussions.
Very good.
Yes.
At the dinner table, on vacation, you know, every place imaginable. And it was really about everything. I recall beating up a kid because he called my sister a bad name. And so we had a discussion about that not being, you know, kind of a nice way to deal with your peers. I probably should have said, if you don't apologize to my sister, I'll beat you up. But I didn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, my parents were moving in one direction politically towards kind of Ronald Reagan. I was moving in the other direction politically towards Ralph Nader. And so, you know,
they don't even know who Ralph Nader is, but that's all right.
Yep. A different chapter.
Okay.
So we, you know, we discussed robustly about politics. And by that point, they were attending a Unitarian church. I don't know if you know about Unitarians, but they kind of, you know, everything is true. All religions, all roads to the top of the mountain are true. And and so as I was going through high school and looking into that more and more, it made less and less sense to me. The more I knew about all the religions, the less reasonable it would be that they would all be true. So, you know, we argued about that as well, robustly, as you put
it. So, you take that into Iowa State. Mm-hmm. You complete your degree at Iowa State. You go on to a PhD program at University of Iowa.
Right.
You come in with this mindset. You've been raised in that environment within your family. And it was at the University of Iowa something happened. You met a woman. Darn those women. Her name was Patti Smith. And what was different about Patti Smith?
So my modus operandi with Christians when I met them was to be as obnoxious as I possibly could, to say how stupid they were, even if they hadn't opened their mouths much yet. And that was a nice witnessing technique, because basically it turned them off, and so I didn't need to deal with them anymore. It would take an hour for me to explain how I happened to meet this student. So she's an undergrad, I'm a graduate student. I tried the same thing on her, and it didn't work. And I wanted to debate, of course, because that was kind of, you know, the way I did things, and she had no interest in debating. And so I would say these things to her, and I'm not going to repeat them, because there are young people in this room. And she would do something like, well, that's interesting, pause. You know, the Bible says, and, you know, to be honest, it was unnerving because she didn't behave the way she was supposed to.
Right.
And it drew me in. And so for about a year and a half, she walked alongside me. We would read the Bible together, and I would ask these really dumb questions or, you know, make snarky comments or whatever. And it was always, well, that's interesting. And then, you know, we'd go on from there. And she was involved in a campus Christian organization. It's called Crew at Hope. And she thought, well, all right, because I was an intellectual, that's how I would come to Christ. So she took me to all the speakers they had, and they were all dreadful. I mean, each one was worse than the previous one. There was no connection there. And then one time she took me to hear another speaker. He had once been her pastor. He had gone on and gotten a PhD and was teaching at Moody Bible Institute. And he was a really smart guy, engineer, then a pastor, and now a professor. And she thought, okay, this is going to be it, right? Awful talk.
Yeah.
And she said afterwards, it's the worst I ever heard him. But of course, you know where the story's going, right? That was the night. And so at the end of that talk, when he said, if anything you've heard has touched you, if you want to commit your life to Christ, raise your hand. And I did. And so it wasn't about any of those speakers. It was about, I mean, I would call it a research project. I was reading the Bible. The Bible was reading me. I was listening to these people and maybe hearing or not hearing. And then, you know, the passage in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's what it was that night. Jesus was knocking. I opened the door.
God was pursuing you, and you didn't even know it.
And I didn't know it.
Yeah. So, by God's good grace, he hunts you down, and you open the door up to Jesus. How did that begin to change your life? Now you're in a PhD program. Higher education always isn't friendly to the Christian faith. How did that impact you?
Right. I mean, so it's kind of interesting. It was right now, this time of year, in 1971, and I had just passed my PhD comprehensives. That's the moment where if you pass, you can then work on your dissertation. In other words, I knew my field, I knew all that knowledge better than I would ever know the rest of my life. And yet, I didn't have wisdom, and I think that that's what coming to Christ gave me. My fellow graduate students with whom I had, let's just say, imbibed a lot, thought I'd gone off the deep end. My parents certainly thought I had gone off the deep end. I think they would have been okay had I become a Buddhist.
Yeah.
But this was the one thing that wasn't supposed to happen. If you were going to be raised in that context and think for yourself,
yep.
All these other trajectories were fine, but not that one. And so it led to some difficult times with my parents.
So the rest of the story, Patty Smith then became Patty Bear.
Yeah.
And is your wife, but it was the witness, the gentle, consistent, persistent witness of Patty to you.
And hanging with me for a year and a half.
It was about a year and a half of inquiry, mm-hmm. right? And I mean, you're still on that journey.
I am.
But
with
it
her.
Was, with her, praise God. But it was her faithful, never giving up, just that consistent, present witness.
Well, when I tried to offend her, she didn't take it as aimed at her.
Hmm.
She just let God take it and speak to me through the word, which he always took me back to.
Yeah. So what word would you give to these young brothers and sisters here, thinking on your story, and as they interact with different folks here on campus and beyond and in their families?
Yeah.
That wasn't on the script.
Right.
Yeah.
You tricked me.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking back to Julie's Skype talk last week. And she said, and I knew Julie when she was an undergrad here, she said, be bold. And I would affirm that. I would also say, be wise. I would say I was more bold than I was wise when I went and spoke to my brother and sister and mom and dad. If you would have given me a grade for empathy, you would have given me an F.
Hmm.
Because I think now looking backwards, I should have looked at me through their eyes. So I was really turned on about Jesus. And I thought they should be too. Hmm. And I think I used a sledgehammer. And I don't think I was particularly subtle. I remember Patty and I were now engaged. We were flying with my parents to California. They were kind of showing her all the places where I had grown up. And one row behind us was what was called in the early 70s a Jesus freak. Do you know what that phrase refers to? So this is a guy who had himself only come. So I'd come to Christ like 4 months earlier. And for this guy, 6 or 7 months earlier. And he was unusual. If you know Becca Lawrence, he had hair kind of like hers.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of clothing on at that moment. And I'm not sure when the last time he bathed was, but we just talked in the aisle loudly. And it was humiliating to them, I think, that here's their son, proper parents, raised him properly. Look who he's hanging out with. I chose to be baptized in a muddy Iowa reservoir the night before I was married as a witness to them. And again, it was kind of, they saw me as rejecting them. And that's not what it was in my own mind or heart.
Yeah.
But that's how they saw me. And I think I should have been wiser. So yes to Julie, be bold. But if you listen to one thing, if you're in Julie's case dealing with parents who were kind of neutral about the whole thing, I think bold is good. If you're dealing with people who are hostile, it's better to be wise.
Hmm. And I think that's a good word. And really probably taking what Patty did with you, walk alongside you.
Yes, indeed.
So with that, we're going to let you walk outside your classes. Go in peace. Have a great day. Thank you.